This episode of the Coin Spice Podcast is brought to you by Cash Shuffle, because what you do with your money is your business. To give this new product a try for fungibility and privacy, head on over to electroncash.org, download their latest wallet 4.0.0, and give it a spin. CashShuffle.com for more information, because what you do with your money is your business. What is really going on, Crypto Savages? This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief out at coinspice.io, back with another episode of the Coin Spice Podcast, and this time around I've got Wyoming State House Representative Tyler Lindholm. And it's a really interesting time to talk to him for a variety of reasons, but one is that Wyoming is slowly, quietly becoming arguably the most hospitable state for cryptocurrency and blockchain. Businesses, startups, those already engaged in the industries right now are all looking to, or at least have an eye on, what's going on in Wyoming. They've passed something like 13, over a dozen pieces of legislation that are widely considered to be very, very pro-crypto. And that's a sea change. That's a difference from as little as, say, 3 years ago. And Lindholm is part of that change. He, along with, of course, Caitlin Long, who we've had on the show, and the Blockchain Association, Task Force, a lot of private concerns there, really worked hard to, during a bear market, when not a lot of people are thinking about cryptocurrency and blockchain, it's not on the tip of everyone's tongue outside of our little world here, they're preparing for the future, so that when this thing does take off, as a lot of people assume it will, and we can never, you know, predict how and when that's going to happen, the state is ready to go, hey, you know, we're ready for you. We have all, there's regulatory clarity here, there's good law here, you can operate a business and profit from it by being in Wyoming. So how does he get there? What's unique about Wyoming? It's certainly something I've never really thought about too much. So it was a great time to drag him in, get him on the record here talking about it. We immediately enjoyed each other's company, started cracking up. I'm in California, so we contrasted California with Wyoming. We talk philosophy, we talk how he got into crypto. I think it's a fun episode. It's certainly one of the funnest I've recorded, and you're going to learn a lot. And if you're an investor, or if you're, you know, someone super interested in making money in crypto, take a look at Wyoming. I know I am, especially after this episode. So without any further ado, here is Tyler Lindholm, Wyoming State House Representative.
What is really going on, Crypto Savages? You are listening to the Coin Spice Podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at coinspice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
All right. Well, first off, man, I really appreciate you coming on. This is Wyoming House Representative from the 1st District in Wyoming, Representative Lindholm. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's definitely an honor to do so. I'm following in the footsteps of the great Caitlin Long, so proud to be here.
Yes, sir. So let me start off by teasing you from Wyoming. I'm in California, where we breathe rarefied air here. We're all snobs, and we think we know everything. How the heck did Wyoming sneak up on a go-go tech? I mean, we're the home of Google. We're the home of Facebook, Apple. How the heck did Wyoming sneak underneath everybody's radar here and snatch blockchain and crypto? How did that all, like, can you kind of go into a little bit about how you're even introduced to the idea?
Right. No, I think that's a great question. I mean, it's not like Wyoming's really known as a tech state. You've got several states. California, one of them, used to be known for being good for business. You know, a lot of A lot of people used to go to Cali, you know, and Cali still has a humongous GDP, actually still ranked in the world stage, which is dropping. So, well, I mean,
you're absolutely right. And just to interrupt you and be a homer here, mm-hmm. you know, we have a newish governor, and they're just perplexed, Representative Lindholm, as to how gas prices have hit $4 and change here. And they're ignoring all the taxes they passed in the preceding.
Right.
They're just flummoxed. So contrast that with what's happening in Wyoming with the geniuses here.
Right, right. So they actually just passed a gas tax this year in California too. And that's what I mean. I about had apoplexy when I was like reading this. I was like, how do you not know? You just artificially raise the price of a product. So yeah, now, you know, Cali has lost their way. Well, their government has lost their way. Still a lot of good people in California. Obviously yourself, you're there, doing the good work, talking about blockchain and cryptocurrency and how it could change and revolutionize the world. So there's still some good folks out there. It's just Wyoming. The biggest thing about Wyoming that, first of all, a lot of folks should remember is, anytime you're surprised by one of these, I don't know how best to say it. I mean, one of these cowboy type states, right? I mean, it is a bunch of ranchers and farmers out here.
You're a rancher yourself, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ranchers, cowboys, coal miners, these types of folks. Got to remember, the West was not won by politicians in California. It just wasn't. You know, it was won by cowboys. It was won by people with, you know, with crazy ideas that are willing to make a gamble. And for us in Wyoming,
with dirt under their nails, right? Grit.
Yeah. Yeah. Dirt under our nails. The type of folks that, you know, got to work for a living, you know, where we've got to go and scrounge. It's, you know, so it's kind of that entrepreneurial type spirit. And these really, when you dig down in the very base and bottom of these bills, the fact that nobody had done it yet, my only apologies to the whole scene is that we didn't do this sooner, right? Because we totally should have. We should have known.
Yeah, no, it goes to, you know, now we're at CoinSpice, we're kind of on the crankier side of the cryptocurrency milieu. So we're not fond of government regulation. You know, it's not something we look forward to. And it may, you know, you may be thinking to yourself like, duh, I mean, that's the whole basis of your guys' existence, but it's actually become kind of a controversial position. There are many, 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 you know, moneyed people in the space going after, courting, you know, regulators and so on. So when you guys, and in particular yourself and your cadre there, snuck up on things, I was honestly blown away. Like, now, if you'd said, I mean, maybe even Colorado, right? I'll give you Colorado.
right.
You know,
well, Colorado makes sense too, you know.
I mean, yeah.
You know, they're, but Colorado, I mean, y'all, folks in California, I mean, if you're really digging the bureaucratic and political ways that California currently has right now, don't move. Stay where you're at. Don't come to Colorado. Don't come to Wyoming. Don't even think about doing that. Yeah, I honestly don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, whatever. I don't care your political stance, skin color, religion, whatever. Come to Wyoming. But if you come to Wyoming with that mindset, we really don't want you.
I love it. I love it.
That's our only, that's like our barrier at the wall. When you're crossing the border into Wyoming and you're coming with big government stink on you, just turn around.
Well, I was gonna delay our podcast recording here because I had to moisturize. You understand? I'm gonna do the whole metrosexual thing over here. That's hilarious. So yes, of course. Let's get into your background personally. So now does someone come to you? Because you're a young guy. You're only like 35, right?
Right. Yeah, that's young in politics. That's, you know, that's getting old and everything else, but that's young in politics.
Yeah, so does someone bring this to you, or are you a hobbyist, or how do you even find this? I mean, you know, beyond the hype, I mean, how do you find that this is something even worth legislating about?
Sure, so it's a little bit of both. I ran my first cryptocurrency-related bill the year before me and Caitlin got hooked up and started running our bills, and I got my ass whipped. One of the biggest problems in states that we see in Wyoming, and this is an important aspect to remember, wasn't that long ago, Wyoming was one of the worst in the nation for cryptocurrency. I mean, we're the bottom three. There's Hawaii, Minnesota, and Wyoming, the worst in the nation.
Now that you say it, I wrote for another news desk, a crypto news desk, a couple years back. And now that you say it, I definitely remember that. But so something changed.
Right. So what ended up happening is 2016. What made us so bad was the premise that we actually regulated cryptocurrency with our Money Transmitters Act, and a lot of states have gone that route. So in 2016, I ran a bill that did a couple things. First of all, it made it a lot more friendly in the Money Transmitter Act world for cryptocurrency, but it also made cryptocurrency a permissible investment. And so I got my ass whipped on that one, pretty bad.
Too much, too soon, too fast. Like no one knew what the hell you're talking about.
No, I don't think it was so much that. It had a lot to do with the fact that it was a hell of a lift for a freshman legislator, guy that was pretty rank and green. So I had had a lot of folks. I mean, I got assigned to a committee, went to this committee meeting, and it was. If I'm remembering right, it was the Minerals Committee. And I was sitting there with these guys, and I was definitely the youngest guy in the room. Not that that should hold anybody back or anything like that, but I just got murdered. I think I got one vote to get out of committee. Whereas the next year, I was no longer a freshman legislator. I had a little bit of dirt under my fingernails when it comes to dealing with the legislature, and I'd passed some bills and I had done some good stuff and garnered a little bit of respect. And I came with some very different ideas. And I let somebody else carry the Money Transmitter Act law because I didn't have very good luck with it.
Very nice. And so how did you even come into cryptocurrency? Like, have you ever held any? Have you ever used like a wallet or anything like that?
Sure. So, where I'm standing right now is a very different way than where I started out with. Right now I'm running Daedalus on my own computer. Whereas, not that long ago, I was, my first blush with cryptocurrency and blockchain came about 2013, 2012 time period.
Oh, wow.
Back in, the Ron Paul forum days when the Ron Paul forums were really kicking. Not, they're still not, but they're really not what they used to be.
Sure.
I have a fairly strong libertarian streak. In fact, if you could see my webcam, I've actually got a Ron Paul campaign sign up on my wall behind me that's signed by the guy himself. So that's like my prized possession. Anybody visits me at my home, which is like way out in the sticks. I live 20 miles from the closest town. That's one thing I show off right off the bat. So a little bit of a, you know, libertarian economics background, those types of things led me to Bitcoin and blockchain, much like a lot of other people. And, since then it's, different things. I've tried different aspects. So, yeah.
And do you think that could be the, because this idea now, how we approach it or how they approach it, I should say, obviously varies, but I think this idea carries beyond party. So, the cryptocurrency idea, I've seen, more progressive or Democrat or however you want to phrase them. They've taken up the cause too. Do you think that the difference is, I'm going to say your age, but even beyond that, is the difference in your embracing of it the fact that you actually, like you saw the magic internet beans floating through your phone or your laptop or whatever, and you're like, holy mackerel, like this is something. Like, is that the difference? Do you think that that's a way to get more people, regulators on board?
Yeah, I think that, and I learned how to be a better salesman as far as talking to my fellow legislators, so like with Democrats and whatnot, and more progressive type folks, which Democrats consistently have supported these bills. I mean, almost at 100% rate. I mean, these guys have been rock stars for this movement in the state of Wyoming.
That's good to hear.
And so's my own party. I mean, we've lost only like a couple of people that have gone against the most controversial of bills. So Great support out of the Wyoming legislature in that regard. And the best way, the best way I sell this to Democrats, and I'm not making this stuff up, it's true, is the fact of the matter is traditional banking systems have a long history of discrimination against people of color, women, on down the line. And this is a way that not only can you build wealth, because there's no accredited versus unaccredited aspect in there, but on top of that, you can trade monetary value anywhere without any kind of agency over, you know, looking over your shoulder telling you you can't because you're poor. And that really speaks to folks. And once they get that aspect, and you can demonstrate this. I mean, hell, it came out publicly, Operation Choke Point. So there's a rich history back, you know, not even that long ago, 20, 30 years ago, where women CEOs couldn't even open up checking accounts. So, yeah.
Right. No, it's you've hit it right on the head. You know, when we hear screeching and so on about the unbanked and so forth, I mean, this is not small, you know, access to capital is perhaps the difference. You know, I'm putting maybe too much on it, but access to capital is perhaps the difference between civilization and not. So when,
you're absolutely right. You know, and there's a lot of discussion about, you know, I run with a bunch of history nerds, because politicians, we all like to pretend like we're all history nerds, right? So I should say pretend history nerds is who I run with. But I've had this interesting discussion with several people. So if you look at Thomas Jefferson's writings, which are few and far between, we've got one document that's very well out there, right? So the Declaration of Independence, everybody knows Thomas Jefferson did the first draft on that bad boy, Life, Liberty, Pursuit of Happiness. Well, and if I'm remembering this correct, so for your listeners, if I screw this up, I know that Thomas Jefferson did not come up with that line. He didn't. It was Thomas Paine who said life, liberty, and property. And Thomas Jefferson kind of put his own spin on it. So when you look at the property aspect and Thomas Jefferson's interpretation of that to mean pursuit of happiness, the two are very much the same and very much intertwined. Property doesn't mean just a piece of land, right? Now, granted, this is in a very agrarian society at the time.
Sure.
But it does mean multiple different aspects of property for Paine's type of spin on it. So it's, and one could put a monetary aspect on that. And we've really hunkered that down on that in the state of Wyoming when it comes to cryptocurrency, tokens, any of those. We call them all property.
So how many bills in total now have you guys gotten through?
13.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been busy, man. It's been a lot of work.
Wow. And on that, because you know, you said Thomas Paine to Jefferson, but also, you know, prior to those guys, of course, was John Locke, and his views of property. But also, Jefferson wasn't all that keen on banks, and at least one of the arguments he was having with Hamilton and the Hamiltonians was an issue of central banking, and that sort of, you know, I don't know that they would quite use this language that we have today, but they would say, maybe that Jefferson was maybe a little less inclined towards permissioned banking.
Right.
You know, so I definitely see some corollaries there.
Which, by the way, was John Locke. I was misquoting. It was not Thomas Paine. It was
okay.
John Locke's original line. I'm glad you brought that up. It triggered me. And I was like, oh, I was wrong.
it's all good, man.
So Thomas Jefferson and the whole Alexander Hamilton aspect. I mean, what we did with one of our bills in regards to special purpose depository institution, I mean, we did some real revolutionary stuff in there. Now, granted, the bill has the lamest title in the world, so not many folks actually know what we did, right? Because they see a 50-page bill with special purpose depository institution. Who's going to read that, right? If I would have named that the Ron Paul Act, everybody would read it. But indeed, that bad boy is revolutionary based on the premise of fractional reserve banking, based on the FDIC, all of those aspects. There hasn't been a 100% reserved bank in the United States since, I believe, 1790. And
yeah,
we all knew who the Secretary of the Treasury was at that time, right?
Exactly. There it is. There's our guy coming back.
Yeah, there's our guy, right? So it's really super exciting that Wyoming, you know, we're the first with a fractional or with a non-fractional reserve bank, a non-lending institution that can also reject the Fed in regards to the FDIC.
So just because you're, you know, I think most of my listeners understand what you're saying, but go into just, you know, a sort of back of the envelope elevator pitch for why fractional reserve banking, as we understand, maybe define that, and why that's problematic, right. to say the least.
Yeah, so fractional reserve banking is extremely problematic, but it may be the only way to run a lending institution in a manner that doesn't require an incredible amount of capital coming from someone else. You know, I mean, that's just somebody else taking the risk on themselves. So what fractional reserve banking means is if you take $100, go to your bank, and this is any bank in the United States right now, go to your bank, deposit that $100. They're going to keep anywhere from $10 of it to $1.50 of it, or maybe even just a dollar. The rest of it, they're going to use to leverage lending, right? So they're going to reuse your money to lend out to other customers. And the fascinating part about that is what a mechanism to build wealth, because if you think about it, they've used the majority of your money to re-lend out to some of their other customers, all of which they're using that to draw on interest. And so the bank is making a substantial amount of money based on your cash. Well, at the same time, you just go to a checking account or savings account anywhere in the United States, and the return on the funds you have deposited definitely does not equate to what's being returned to you. I mean, maybe if the bank gave you half of the interest rate on the return on your money, maybe that would be a fair deal, but it's not. And then on top of that, they don't even ask your permission to do that.
Right.
Now, granted, I guess they get permission by you doing business with them, but it's not like you have a mechanism anywhere else you can go. It's not like there's an option.
It's not something they like to highlight.
Right. And it's not like you really have an option. I mean, even if you have, so say you're a business and you've got over 15 employees, the IRS mandates you do direct deposit. How else are you going to pay your employees besides having a bank account where they can leverage your funds and not pay you for that? You know, I mean, well, by the way, the answer is Wyoming. Now, you can go to Wyoming.
Right. And so you guys enter in with this kind of economic literacy, with this sort of education that, you know, I've seen eyes glaze over out here when we talk about these subjects. But you guys have your bags packed there, man. I mean, you're really on this issue, and you're looking out for not only, as I understand the legislation, the cryptocurrency and broader, I guess, blockchain industry, and trying to, you know, make it at the very least Wyoming a sandbox, but you're also looking at potential future pitfalls, right? As
right.
Fractional reserve banking can go very, very wrong.
Right. Well, and that, you know, the fractional reserve portion, it kind of hit us by surprise, because when we came up with the idea that we needed to charter a new bank in Wyoming, the original idea was to make it non-discriminatory, and then to also make it so that you could reject the FDIC. Some of our attorneys at workforce came back to us and said, this is what we're looking at. By the way, because you're chartering a new type of bank, what do you want to set the fractional reserve at? I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So I called up Caitlin. I actually remember this conversation. I was like, what do we do? I hate fractional reserve banking. You know, what do we do? And Caitlin, she's as libertarian as it gets too. And she's like, I know. I mean, and so I was like, what if we just did 100%? I mean, that wouldn't be the end of the world. And we can take testimony from these types of companies that are looking at opening up one of these and see if that's outside of the realm of possibility.
So if I'm understanding this right, the linguistic aspect of this is you have to have a fractional reserve policy, but they're asking you to set the reserve requirement, and rather than going no, we're going to issue fractional reserve banking and get into that whole, you know, rabbit's or you know, hornet's nest, you just go 100%.
Exactly. Exactly. We rejected it out of hand because A, we knew what the hell we were doing. Now, granted, I will say that there wasn't there was no questions that arrived on the floor about that 100% requirement when I was presenting the bill on my side. Nothing. Nothing on the Senate side either. And that's because a lot of folks don't know actually what fractional reserve banking is.
Right.
Right. And so the bankers who went hard against this bill, the Banking Association in the state of Wyoming hated it. My point to them was this is not competitive with a traditional bank at all. I mean, these guys have such a tall barrier to climb. They have to be 100% reserve. Because they're 100% reserve, they can't do lending. I mean, how would this be competitive with a bank that only has got to keep 5% of its funds? I mean, how is that competitive at all?
Right, in the traditional sense, sure.
Right, and so they would argue with me, yeah, you're right, it's not competitive. So I'd ask, why are you going against this? Never any answer. Never any answer.
Really? So maybe yeah. It's just a precedence thing, and they don't want this...
Hey, Crypto Savages, this is C. Edward Kelso breaking in with a quick and very shameless plug. CoinSpice.io is a feisty pirate ship. We depend to rely on almost entirely organic growth, which means our audience really does the marketing for us, and there's nothing more powerful than word of mouth. If you read an article you like on coinspice.io, if you listen to a podcast and you enjoy the content, or if you're just pissed, please promote us on social media, wherever you're at, wherever that is, whether it's Reddit, whether it's YouTube, the Telegram, you name it, the Twitter, like us, retweet, all that great stuff. You can always find detailed show notes for every podcast on the corresponding page at coinspice.io. There you'll find links to our respective podcast, your favorite platform like iTunes. Please give us a rating. Please give us a subscribe. You know all that good stuff. It helps the pirate ship remain afloat. It keeps us going. We appreciate it. As always, you can contact me personally if you have questions, concerns, you want to hear from a particular guest, you have a news tip at Kelso, K-E-L-S as in Sam, O, at coinspice.io. Thanks again for listening. We sure do appreciate it. And back to the episode.
This really horrible and dangerous idea to spread, eh?
Exactly. So it does become competitive. My opinion is, and we've got a half a dozen companies that will be starting one of these up. And applying in October. Wyoming hasn't had a new bank chartered in probably, a little over a decade. I mean, banks just don't crop up, right?
So
you
guys were the first in a decade?
Yeah, so once this bill goes live, we're writing rules and regs right now. So once all those are approved, October is the first time period that we can start accepting applications.
Okay.
All of a sudden, you're going to have all of these new banks cropping up, even though we haven't had a new bank chartered under traditional means in over a decade. So, I mean, it is going to be competition based on the premise that this new thing, this new type bank, and wait till customers find out their funds are protected. Wait till they find out that a bank can't re-lend their assets. What happens if a bank run happens, right? At a bank run anywhere else, and holy shit, that's the worst day. That's the worst case scenario. They're gonna bar the door. Bar the door, Becky.
Yeah. No, I'm doing the math right now. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, 100% reserve bank. Okay, you want your money back? Here you go.
Wow. And so, what are some of the other like blockchain crypto specific pieces that you have in there that might? Because I've been hearing, how much attention I'm able to pay is different from week to week. But I remember Wyoming being on the tip of everybody's tongue, and at least on Twitter and other areas of social media, people, companies, blockchain industry, right, saying we're going to Wyoming. So, what kind of legislation is that you guys have passed or is moving in that direction? Is attracting these folks?
So the biggest thing to understand with all of our legislation is all of them are aimed and intended for a purpose to attract companies, good corporate citizens. That's what we want. So I think are stupid bills. We don't have anything like let's put driver's licenses on the blockchain, or let's let people pay their taxes with cryptocurrency. I mean, paying your taxes with cryptocurrency, I guess, is kind of cool. But let's just not take anybody's money. Let's just not do personal income tax. And then you don't have to worry about that. Right? So that's Wyoming's stance. We just don't have an income tax.
I can't even, like, you know, my head is spinning right now. I'm in California.
Yeah, you guys are. You know, I was recently speaking to a very close friend of mine, and you know their name in this space. I can't say because this is an announcement that they need that they're going to make, and it'll be very public and very, very much online. And they're moving to Wyoming. They are. It's a big name in the space, and they've got a house that they're about to close on. Things are really looking good, and they did the calculation on it and the savings. And they're coming from the East Coast, and the savings in a 5-year period on taxes will be right around 98%.
I was going to say, because as nutty as the West Coast is, the East Coast in some cases is even more psychotic. Wow. Okay, so the legislation moves to get these people over, whether it's, you know, corporate or whatever, go into those pieces. And so everything's to bring them. No, that's fine. Go.
Sorry, I get down a rabbit
hole. I do it too. When you said no income tax, I was booking a ticket. I'm moving to Wyoming.
Well, so the first year, what we did is we cleaned up the Money Transmitters Act. That bill was sponsored by Representative Miller, and we just decided, screw it, let's just flat exempt all cryptocurrency from the Transmitters Act. So we just, boom, it doesn't exist for the Transmitters Act anymore. The second one we did was the electronic corporate records, and I sponsored that. Basically means inter-office filings or a corporation can be on a blockchain. The sneaky Pete on that was uncertificated shares count as they count as inter-office filings. So we put that directly on a blockchain, allows companies the option to do it. We also did the big one of that year was House Bill number 70, I believe it was. And that was in regards to the utility ICOs and security ICOs, differentiating the two. And Wyoming was the first in the nation to do that. Now a lot of states have copied us, and Congress even has a bill that they've bastardized of ours, which I hope they kill. That's the Token Taxonomy Act. Tell your friends it's a bad bill.
Yeah,
that's a bad puppy. It looks great from the outside, but preempting states' rights is never cool. Another one we did that year was and this was another kind of sneaky one. So we said property taxes don't count on virtual currencies. You can't collect property taxes on virtual currency. And everybody was like, well, okay. I mean, who would do that, right?
Right.
At the same time, we said virtual currency, cryptocurrencies are property, and thereby making it the purview of the states. And that's really, really a big stroke on that one. And that was sponsored by Senator Driscoll, and really 100% one of the coolest moves, because the states regulate property.
Right. 100%.
That's our baby. Congress has no right to do so. And so if the Token Taxonomy, as it's written today, the Token Taxonomy Act were to pass as it's written today, not only is New York going to sue them because they've got bad laws, but Wyoming's going to sue them because we've got good laws. and that's based on the fact that we have the right to regulate within our own state. And in regards to cryptocurrency, I think it's arguable that we've done a damn good job. So we want to defend that. So that was the first year's bill, bills, groups of bills. And then this year we did 8. And I'd say that the two biggest right up front are in regards to, one is qualified custodianship. That's for your bigger industry type players in the space. And we've been dealing with some of those big industry players because of that qualified custodianship. The SEC came out a while ago and stated that you cannot be a qualified custodian under SEC rules unless you're a bank, which is bonkers for most qualified type custodian of any type of asset, because they've really not hunkered down on that on anything else. But for some reason they did with digital assets as a bank. So nobody climbed that hill because laws need to be rewritten, right? So it's a pain in the ass. So we wrote laws. We just did it. And we got that done. So that was really good. Got some big industry players that I think will won't shock people that are involved in the scene, but you know, that's going to be their public announcement. So I can't get too carried away.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's big. It's big dogs. It is very much big dogs in regards to that qualified custodianship. And we put our own very libertarian spin on that aspect too. We take into consideration rehypothecation, which is 100% legal in New York and will 100% be a felony in the state of Wyoming.
So, yeah.
So don't relend other people's assets and call it your own. That's against the law in Wyoming. It's legal in New York.
Which is right. Exactly. It's kind of like an iteration on the fractional reserve idea, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We also took into consideration a bailment, which I think most people in the crypto sphere, you'll immediately get this, why this should be a thing in qualified custodianship, or anybody holding your crypto assets, for that matter, is based on the aspect of bailment. Basically means it's like valet parking. If I give you the keys to my truck, you better bring that truck back to me, right? But what happens if you brought me a different truck that was maybe a different color? And so that takes into consideration the forks that can happen in this type of sphere, that you have to actually get your asset back because there is a difference in value.
Yeah, that's what's really forward thinking. So that at least the first part of that, of the new eight that you said and the two that you highlighted there, the first that you mentioned about custodian or custody type arrangements, are you guys thinking that maybe, and you sort of hinted at it, but are you thinking maybe there are going to be some institutional type legacy type arrangements that could at least on the crypto side move into Wyoming?
Yeah, very big legacy type institutions that are currently in talks. We've got one big legacy outfit that has been looking at relocating their whole outfit that is now looking at Wyoming, and this is a big name, so it's pretty exciting, especially if they come to play along Wyoming's rules, right? You know, it definitely changes how things are done, and so we're really excited about that. The second big one is obviously, and we've already talked about, is the special purpose depository institution, that new bank charter. That was a big deal. We also took last year, we took into consideration uncertificated shares. So this year, my buddy, Representative Olson, Jared Olson out of Cheyenne, ran a bill on certificated shares, because if we can do uncertificated shares, let's do certificated shares. Because nobody like does certificated shares anymore, because it's such a pain in the ass. It's a piece of paper. The share is actually a piece of paper with all this floral type print on it. Nobody's got these hardly anymore. You know, they're kind of outdated. But what if you could do those certificated shares now on a blockchain in that immutable data set? Boom. You might actually have something that's worth a shit.
Yeah. And it goes beyond just the currency aspect.
Exactly. So that's, we're pretty excited about that. I think that's, you know, it kind of makes a hybrid unto itself between ICOs, cryptocurrency, and traditional shares. So, that's pretty fun.
It just seems like you guys have all, you know, as many bases as I can think covered legislatively, and it's, you know, as you're kind of the devil that I have to know, you know, from that side, you know, from my, again, with the crankier side, the hardcore libertarian side. We make libertarians look like conservatives, and so It just seems like you're working towards maybe the best way I could put this, because I'm being terribly inarticulate right now, but someone was talking about intellectual property, and again, this is not an official position of CoinSpice or anything. It's just, again, my crankier side is that I find it, you know, ridiculous that there's intellectual property. But then someone explained it to me from my point of view, essentially, from my worldview. They said, look, you know, we have to have this there so that someone doesn't take your idea.
Right.
And when it went around that way, I was like, all right, well, now you got me. Like, now, you know, how that leads to this giant government, you know, in my view, and black helicopters, and they're coming to take us away and everything. I can set that aside for a second and kind of see the value of what you're doing in Wyoming and why it's so necessary to right now, while people are sort of paying, or especially in the bear market, I think it almost backed into the exact perfect time where, you know, the, because if you tried it during the bubble, there was lots of light and heat on this stuff. And, you know, right. during a relative bear market, you kind of get in there when people are sort of half paying attention. I mean, the Bitcoin thing? Yeah, yeah, that. You know, and sort of like, okay, well, just give him his Bitcoin thing, you know. And you know, and so they can't really see what's coming. And then right. you set it up, Wyoming, in such a way that, you know, as far as I, you know, I'm not a legislative expert, but it really does seem like you're making it so that these companies and people that are interested in growing the space, and at least in the United States, I mean, it's almost like it's a no-brainer. You're just going to have to go to Wyoming. Now, you mentioned that other states were kind of copying. I saw a list somewhere yeah. that there's maybe half a dozen of them. You also mentioned the federal sort of look as to, and that's a real interesting debate about states' rights versus sort of a blanket law. Have you seen any negative, like expressly, like overtly negative pushback from other legislators elsewhere?
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be folks that are like, well, this is a fraud, this is a sham. And those very same folks you try to sit down with and be like, well, if you're going to call cryptocurrency a fraud and a sham, you have to call your own money in your own pocket a fraud and a sham. Fiat currency, bro, no matter which way you paint it, fiat is fiat. So you start saying words like fiat and you see their eyes glaze over it.
Yeah.
You question, why the hell am I even having this conversation with this person? You know, because, you know, I mean, there's always going to be, you know, you deal with this a lot in politics where, everybody's immediate reactions are one or the other. It's going to be 100% with you, or I'm going to kick the shit out of you. You know, that's right. That's all there is. There's, well, let's sit down on this and work this bad boy out kind of situation. And we saw a lot of that kind of middle of the road, rainbow and unicorn action on these blockchain bills in the state of Wyoming. And I think that came about because of two main reasons. One is Wyoming's hungry. We are hungry. We're not broke. We've got the largest rainy day fund in the nation out of all states combined. When you compare it to our budget, we can cover our own bacon for numerous years without drawing an ounce of tax money. And we make one of our biggest revenue returns is on capital gains just from simply the amount of money that we save. So that's been gangbusters for us, but we're still hungry based on the aspect that we want to diversify our economy. One of our biggest natural resources that we've got in the state of Wyoming, and we are all about natural resources in Wyoming. We export more coal out of the state of Wyoming than any other state in the nation. West Virginia, they're a punk on coal compared to the state of Wyoming. They are, you know, I mean, those boys are digging holes in the side of mountains and we just strip mine it. We've got a 100-foot coal seam. We don't have to find these little seams. So we're really good at natural resources. We know how to do that. And our finest natural resource, we export at a huge amount, and that's our children, right? Our kids. We export the hell out of Wyoming students and Wyoming children. And the reason is there's a lot of these kids that go to our schools, go to our college, and then they get done. And they're like, okay, I got my degree in, say I'm a software developer now. I'm a full stack software developer. Where do I go?
You're coming here.
Yeah. You're going to Cali. You're going to Colorado. You're going to Austin, Texas. You're going, you know.
That's Lindholm. Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. So this represents a huge opportunity for us to bring in some of these companies and keep some of these kids that we've invested a ton in. I mean, Wyoming funds, I think we're third highest right now in the nation as far as funding per student. We're right around $17,000 per student. All of our neighbors around us funded like roughly half of that. Now, why would Wyoming do that? Because goddamn, our kids are important to us. Right? We've got the coin to spend. We're going to spend it. Where should we spend it? We're not going to build a stupid-ass train from one end of our state to the other. We're not going to do that. That's dumb. No offense, California.
How dare you?
How dare you make fun of our speed rail system? Sorry.
Good Lord, that's all we talk about here. Go ahead.
That's funny. You know, we're going to invest in our kids, you know, and that's it's been really, you know, you can't drive into a small town. Like, listen, the closest town to me, 20 miles away, is a town of 1,000 people. That's the biggest town in my entire house district. That's the biggest town. I represent an area three times the size of Rhode Island, and I only represent 9,300 people.
Wow.
My constituents know me because they're either A, my neighbor, or B, my friend, or C, my family member. So you got this giant area, kids everywhere, and every one of them's got a brand new school. And on top of that, their teachers are some of the best paid in the nation. And then what do we do with those kids? We send them outside of the state.
So yeah. Now you got to bring businesses to match those brains, right?
Exactly. You know, we've come to realize that not everybody wants to be a cowboy. Not everybody wants to be a coal truck operator, a haul truck operator. Not everybody wants to do those things, and that's perfectly fine. So how do we ensure that those brains stay in Wyoming so that you, as you're growing up, much like your parents, buy a house? Send your kids to our schools, those types of things, become a good, you know, everything we want, which is people raising families and enjoying the American West. So that's a big part of it, too, is this economic development. And the Wyoming legislature's gotten it. You know, I mean, they're all on board. I mean, I've had my floor fights on this stuff where I've had to beat a couple people up and ragdoll them a little bit. But for the most part, I mean, these guys get it. You know, it's been really good.
It's a surreal conversation for me for a bunch of reasons that I mentioned, but also for, you know, and you're, you know, more or less an OG too. You're only 3 or 4 years out when you discovered this. So it's surreal. It's so great to hear that crypto, blockchain, however you want to phrase it, is part of this discussion. This, I don't know how else to put it, like this wholesome discussion where it's now being weaved into the, hey, let's look to the future. Like, you know, it doesn't cost us much to gamble on this. Like, this isn't an industry we're particularly dependent on, but it could be something. Let's get ahead. Let's use it as a marketing tool. Let's you know, no one's talking about Wyoming. You know, I'm being facetious, but no one nationally is talking about it. So let's get them talking about it. We can either have a crime spree or, rap gangs or something, or we can have this, and this is right. Sexy and interesting. And when you say blockchain, people in New York, they just begin going crazy and throwing money at you. So like, you know, it's very, I again, I'm struggling with words, which is ironic because I host a podcast. but it really is wonderful to hear. So before we end here, because I said I was going to keep you for 30 minutes. Is there anything that we need to know that I left out that I didn't hit on about Wyoming and kind of give us your best pitch here?
Yeah, so I think we didn't cover all the bills, but I think you guys get the general gist that Wyoming's better than everywhere else. And without a doubt, you touched on this earlier. You said these blockchain companies or cryptocurrency companies, it's going to come to the point where they can't do anything but operate in the state of Wyoming. And I've said this publicly time and time again, along the same lines, that I'm going to make it so goddamn expensive for these companies to operate anywhere but Wyoming that they don't have a choice. And that is 100% our goal, because we want them, you know, and we've got IOHK now, we've got Active Ether, we've got Node Haven, we've got some really great companies that are putting boots on the ground, bringing actual jobs in. And then on top of that, you got just companies that are just domiciling here, which is great too. Right. If you just want to domicile your business here, awesome, do it. We're super cheap, so domicile your business here. And that, you know, kind of brings me to another point. If you're thinking, you know, like this sounds too good to be true, Wyoming's got a hook somewhere or something like that. Listen, no corporate income tax, no personal income tax. 49th lowest in the nation on property taxes, and our sales tax are dirt cheap also. We're not going to hit you with sales tax on your crypto. We're going to hit you. We have no capital gains that we collect in the state of Wyoming. I mean, you still obviously got to pay your federal capital gains. If you like being left alone and allowed to, carry your gun and just be your own person and do crypto, there's no better place in the world for you than the state of Wyoming.
Sold.
Come on.
Wow. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're busy. You get a lot of requests for your time. This is Tyler Lindholm, folks. I'm trying to convince him to move here and run for office here.
Oh, that ship sailed, brother. I ride for the brown.
Thank you so much, man, for coming on. Where can people follow you, follow your work, and find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I primarily hang out on Facebook and Twitter. You can hit me up at my Twitter's Tyler_Lindholm. My Facebook is Tyler4HD1. So you can hit me up there. And then also on top of that, our blockchain task force meeting is coming up May 6th and 7th in Jackson, Wyoming, the beautiful Jackson, Wyoming, right at the base of the Tetons, also the wealthiest county in the nation. Right. A lot of money there. So we're going to be having our blockchain task force meeting there. If you think so every year we've gotten bigger and bigger, right? Last year was huge, qualified custodianship, new type of bank. We're going to blow that away this year. We already got some irons in the fire, so to speak, and it's going to be big. So if you want to be part of that and want to help change some laws, see you in Jackson.
Boom. We're going to have you back on in a few months to get an update. I'm going to bug you about it. Thank you again. I appreciate everything, man, and we are rooting for you.
Perfect. Thanks, man. Spicy.